call his phone off.
Right, thank you very much. Good evening to you all.
Good evening.
Please note that this meeting will be recorded and the sound recording subsequently made available via the council's website. In addition, please be advised that under the Openness of Local Government Bodies Regulation 2014, that other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any images or sound recordings is not under the control of the council. If you have any queries about these arrangements, please speak to the Democratic Services Officer who is administering the meeting. So we will open the meeting. If you've got any phones that you've forgotten to switch off, can I ask you to put them on silent or switch them off, please? And we'll start off with item one, which is apologies.
Councillor Christine Harris, Councillor Howe and Councillor Paley.
Thank you very much. Nobody knows anybody else. Item three is the disclosures of pecuniary or personal interests. Are there any?
No.
No.
Missed item two. Missed item two. Minutes from previous meeting. Yes, okay. Thank you. Right, minutes from the previous meeting. Is everybody happy if I have signed these as a true record?
Yes, Chair.
Committee procedures 12.8. Is there any?
No questions were submitted.
Okay. In which case we come to the main item, which is 5, which is a review of the Hackney Carriage and private hire licensing policy. I think you've all had a copy of this either electronically or manually on paper, and sufficient time to have a look through it. Can I ask for it to be presented, please?
Thank you, Chair. The report before you is to approve the draft Hackney Carriage and Private Hire licensing policy for consultation. The current policy was approved by the licensing committee and has been in place since April 2017. This policy brought together a number of existing policies and new requirements for vehicles, drivers and operators licensed by Charnwood. It enhanced the controls in place to ensure the safety of the travelling public. The current policy is due for a 3-year review, and the draft policy has been developed to incorporate changes to legislation, guidance and other improvements. Grayson and the licensing team have been working hard to review the policy and make the changes necessary and make it easier to follow. If the draft policy is approved, a consultation will commence in November with a view to the final policy coming back to the licensing committee in February 2020. Grace will now go through the main changes in more detail and will respond to any questions you may have.
Thank you very much. Okay, so there's been a number of changes. In the report it starts with the knowledge test. The knowledge test was reintroduced, changed in 2017, so all new drivers have to sit 3 papers. One is customer services, customer care, one is law, and one is the geographical of the borough. We have had some drivers take them on numerous occasions, which is obviously a cost to them, and obviously it causes us concern that they are spending money. Not necessarily particularly focused. So what we wish to do is that we wish to restrict each applicant to 3 attempts to pass each of the knowledge test papers. Should the applicant not be successful after 3 attempts at each of the 3 papers, the applicant would be required to wait at least 12 months from the date of the most recent failed paper before being permitted to reapply to retake all three papers. So that is the first change. A further change has been made of towards medicals. We've had a number of doctors who have incorrectly filled forms in for drivers, sent them back to us, we have advised the driver of that, and then the driver has left it to licensing to chase. So we've wished to draw it to the driver's attention that the responsibility to ensure that their medicals is done is theirs, not ours, because it's their application. The DBS update service. The DBS update service is an online subscription service that allows individuals to keep their enhanced DBS certificate up to date and allows regulators such as ourselves to check the certificate online. This subscription service allows Hackney Carriage and private hire drivers and licensing authorities as a nominee with the individual's written consent to check the status of the certificate online at any time. Licensing authorities are able to request a large number of status checks on a daily basis. This is something that we already promote to the drivers because it is actually cheaper than doing a DBS every 3 years. It's a subscription where they pay direct debit every year to maintain it. The subscription to the service removes the need for repeat checks, reduces the administrative burden, and mitigates potential delays in relicensing. It costs less than a new DBS check and allows the council to carry out the check immediately. It is proposed that from April 2020, if approved, it would be a condition of licence upon the grant of a new licence and for renewing drivers that they must subscribe to the DBS update service. All new and renewing drivers must enrol on the DBS update service within 30 days of the date of their disclosure certificate. That date is set by the DBS, the deadline. All existing drivers must sign up to the DBS update service on renewal or complete and apply for an enhanced DBS certificate annually and pay the appropriate fee. It allows us to check the drivers for interim checks, similar like we do the vehicles, and it means that it's not considered disproportionate that we're checking that the suitability of the driver continues during the lifetime of the licence. The designated wheelchair list, the policy now states that it's been updated to reflect that the council has a designated vehicle list within the public registers of the council's website. This is a list of wheelchair accessible Charnwood licensed hackneys and private hire vehicles which is maintained by the council. The minimum requirement for the vehicle to be on the list is that they are able to carry a wheelchair user while still seated in their wheelchair. This complies with section 165 of the Equality Act 2010, and by having that list it places the duties on the drivers of those designated vehicles that are now included within the policy. The maximum age of vehicles. This council has always had a maximum age of vehicle, that any vehicle over the age of 6 years old from the date of first registration, which is presented for a certificate of compliance test and fails that test, will not be retested. What we've discovered is that some of the vehicles are failing on the interim, and there was no guidance or policy as to how that was to be dealt with. So we've explained that further. The clear air zone. A clear air zone is an area in which local authority brings measures into place to improve the air quality. I'm sure you will have heard all of this on the news in respect of pollution. To implement these schemes, local authorities may need to differentiate between taxis, known as hackney carriages, private hires and private vehicles such as those that we drive. This is because in some cases local authorities will implement clear air zones that apply charges to hackneys and private hires, but not to vehicles driven by ourselves. Licensing authorities only hold the information on taxis and private hires licensed within their own area, so other authorities are not able to clearly identify and charge a hackney or private hire vehicle entering or moving around their charging clear air zone. which has been licensed by local authority, known as out-of-area vehicles. If local authorities cannot identify all out-of-area vehicles, then this would undermine their ability to effectively operate a clear air zone where charging of these vehicles has been determined to be necessary. The Air Quality Taxi and Private Hire Vehicles Database, Regulation 2019, requires all licensing authorities in England and Wales to submit certain information about their licensed taxis and private hire vehicles to the database. The policy in front of you advises of that requirement. Since the introduction of the Air Quality Taxis and Private Hire Vehicles Database, the Council is required to provide vehicle data to DEFRA following all issues, renewals, suspensions or refusals of licences. The data shared will include the vehicle registration mark, start and end date of licence, whether a hackney or a private hire vehicle, the licence plate number and whether the vehicle is wheelchair accessible. And the minimum requirement is that that is on a weekly basis by the council. The enforcement conviction scheme and penalty points. This section has been rewritten to take into account 2018 guidance on determining the suitability of applicants and licensees in the hackney and private hire licensing trades, which was put together by the Institute of Licensing and the LGA. I believe it was circulated to yourselves by the committee clerks. The policy will be applied immediately to all current licences, in addition to being considered at the time of renewal and granted licence. The council penalty points to last for 36 months. Currently, the council runs a penalty point scheme, which is an internal enforcement mechanism for the licensing section, first introduced in 2011. This allows, at the moment, an individual licensee to have and reach up to 12 penalty points in a 12-month period, and after that 12-month period, they fall off their record. We would like to extend that to a rolling 36 months, 3 years. The matter will be referred to the licensing committee to consider that licensee's continuing fitness to hold a license once they reach that 12 points within that 36-month period. The aim of the scheme is to identify those licensees who repeatedly breach conditions or bylaws and to act as a deterrent. The licensing committee members have also been, within the proposed new policy, able to add penalty points. So the penalty point scheme has been amended to advise that council penalty points may be removed from the record after 36 months or following a licensing subcommittee hearing, where the committee themselves can decide to quash or reduce the penalty points, confirm the penalty points, or increase the penalty points based upon the evidence in front of them. The National Register of Taxi Licence Refusals and Revocations. The policy has been amended to reflect the licensing authority will provide information to the National Register of Taxi Licence Refusals and Revocations, known as the NR3, from April 2020. The NR3 register is a mechanism for licensing authorities to share details of individuals who have had a hackney carriage or private hire vehicle licence revoked or an application for one refused. This is necessary for the performance of a task carried out in the public interest or in the exercise of official authority vested in the licensing authority. That is, assessing whether an individual is a fit and proper person to hold a hackney carriage or private hire licence. This register is only available to us, as in the licensing authority, and not the public. So in effect, if we were to revoke a driver here, we would note that up within the NR3, and if that driver was to apply to a neighbouring authority, that neighbouring authority would check the NR3, be aware of that revocation, and if they required further information, they then have to contact us, the licensing council. The DVLA mandate, currently the driver on renewal or on a new application completes a DVLA mandate which allows us, the licensing section for the council, to check their driving licence. It is proposed that the council would undertake an annual DVLA check. The current DVLA mandate that the driver signs is valid for 3 years, and it is proposed that we would check on the anniversary of that driver's licence, and therefore charge the driver at the start of his 3-year licence £15, £5 for each check. The last change, the major change, is if a new applicant is able to provide a practical driving test certificate currently provided by the Blue Lamp Trust, as approved by another council, by the Blue Lamp Trust, we would accept it as long as it was no more than 3 months old. That has come about due to an individual who had passed one with when he was driving for Leicester City, and unfortunately had to retake it with ourselves because nothing was covered within the policy. So we have put that in based on feedback that we've received from a driver. And that's the major changes, Chair.
Thank you very much for that. Yes.
And yeah, Chair, before we go on to questions, just to say as well, Grace has worked quite hard on this, and also she's made it easier to follow as well in terms of section, putting in this into sections now.
Yeah.
So this has been changed. You'll notice a difference in terms of the section. So we've got one on the vehicles,
one on drivers,
and one on operators as well. So we've got to split the sections up so it makes it easy to follow for different aspects of the licensing we do. So there's a lot of hard work on this, Chair. Thank you.
Oh no, it's tremendous. And the re-layout of it all is actually made it a lot simpler to understand. I think it might be worth recalling in a minute our thanks to the officers for the amount of work that has gone into this, because it's a tremendous amount. In which case, I will open it to the floor of the members for questions. Yes.
Thank you. Could you clarify? I can't see anything in here, or whether it's legally allowed or enforceable. What legislation is there to forbid drivers to be parked in a rank with the engine running?
There isn't anything under the current legislation. The current legislation for Hackney dates back to 1847, and strictly speaking, they should all have a bale of hay in their boot. So there is nothing in respect of.
To soak up the CO2.
Yeah, Chair, sorry. Obviously the licensing policy is for the safety of the travelling public. In terms of, you know, leaving engines running, that's an air quality issue, which wouldn't come under the licensing regime. The standard of vehicles is in the licensing regime, so we can look at the controls in terms of the standard of vehicles we wish. But not for those type of controls.
And just to expand on that, Councillor Parton, the clear air zones, just to clarify, there are two due to come in within the next 6 months. In January 2020, both Leeds and Birmingham are to introduce clear air zones. Every authority, there's been 69 authorities approached and told that they need to look at their pollution level. Leeds and Birmingham one, but two of them. To be able to do that, they've introduced the clear air zone. Within that clear air zone, if you are a Hackney or a private hire, or even a member of the public, and they choose to charge that person, if your car is of a certain calibre, a Euro 6 for a diesel or a Euro 4 for a fuel one, you won't get that charge. So a lot of vehicles and a lot of drivers are going towards hybrids and electric vehicles, of which we have got more and more going on for exactly that reason. Because a vehicle going down to Heathrow, for example, if he passes through several clear air zones, each time he passes through it, it's £12.50, and that's day and night.
Mm.
So that's going to put a tremendous amount on that driver's revenue and potentially onto what he charges his passengers. So we're getting a lot more hybrids and electric cars coming on. So I think through that you will see things like sitting on the rank, potentially with the engine running that's polluting, being reduced as part of the clear air zone, because they're Leicester's part of that, Nottingham's part of that, Derby's part of that.
Well, that's excellent, because if we were to, you know, appreciate Chair, the officer's explained it's not part of this legislation, but if we were to go down to a rank now and guarantee 25% of them will be set there, especially in this weather when it's
cold. Yeah. But like I say, that will improve because of the areas within the country that are being looked at under the clear air zone, which will affect out of area cars.
Mm. Yeah, I think we must always, within licensing, remember that the main, or one of the main items, is the safety of the people that are being carried and the state of the vehicles and so forth, but other legislation sometimes colours this. And I believe this has been the topic of a recent parliamentary order.
Yes,
that
yes.
Whereby yes, they're not just looking at that, they're looking at anywhere
yeah.
parked vehicles with engines running. So it is being looked at outside yeah. of what yeah. we're doing here.
Good. And one other question, please, clarification. What's the reason the taxi can have an engine less than 1.2?
Right, that, we are actually taking that out. That was brought to my attention as a fact of the fact that we've got more electric and hybrid vehicles going on and they haven't got an engine capacity. So we will be looking yeah. to amend that
yeah.
so that they have to be of a certain category, be able to have four doors, right-hand drive, carry so many passengers. But we're going to take that engine capacity out because over a period of time, engines have got better. You know, you can have a 1 litre engine that's a big vehicle, and the engines for the hybrids and the electric don't cover that anyway.
Yeah.
So we will be amending that further.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry,
sorry Chair, just to add on to that,
thank you.
What if you do approve of this and the recommendations, I've delegated powers to amend the policy. And we did find an amendment prior to these reports going in, sorry, after these reports went out. So it will be something we'll be looking at and agreeing with the chair if it's approved about changing that.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Okay.
Chair.
Is there any more?
It's just a very fundamental one. Is actually, you mentioned wheelchairs. Have we got an in-house list that the public can actually access?
That is the designated vehicle.
Yes.
That's the
yeah.
public register.
Yes.
And
I've often been asked.
Yes.
And they can actually access it online.
Yes. Well, they can. Basically, what we're doing is we work with the contact centre and
mm-hmm.
the Lagan team
yes.
to create a script which
mm-hmm.
links it to the website and the public register.
Yes.
So if a member of public rings up and they wish to know who they can go to, We as a licensing authority can't recommend.
But they can give them. There's a list.
Have the list.
That's
yes.
fine. That's all
yeah.
I want to know. I want to confirm. Thank
yeah.
you.
Okay. Any other questions? Yes, please.
Thank you, Chair. Just one, Grace, that relates to the very last point you made about the practical driving test.
Yes.
I just wonder why 3 months. I wonder whether 6 would not be more reasonable.
Very reasonable. I mean, the only reason we put 3 is that's what we do in respect of the DBS certificate being no more than 3 months old and the safeguarding. And the reason we do that is because things can change within a 3 month period. So if the members wish to extend that, we can work with that. That's fine.
I don't have strong feelings about it. I just felt that 3 months is perhaps a bit short, as long as they haven't had any offences within that.
Yeah.
Well, we would be able to check any driving offences on their DVLA mandate and their driving licence. So, yeah.
Well, did you want to?
Please.
Sorry, Chair. Did you want a decision on that? See whether you want to amend the policy or not.
Well, I think your comment was that you don't have very strong
feelings,
and if you want us to have a look at that.
I just felt 3 months was perhaps a bit short, but I don't have strong feelings.
But you're happy with the reply that you've got, have you?
Yeah.
Okay, so
okay.
Keep that is, yeah.
Thank you very much for that. Is there any other questions? Yes, please.
I just wanted to ask about the DBS part. What happens if a driver does not enrol on the DBS update service within 30 days?
He would need to have an annual wand done anyway, which would cost him £44 as opposed to the £13 to enrol on the subscription one per year.
So it doesn't automatically preclude them from getting
one? It just means that they would end up, in effect, paying more.
Okay, are there any other questions? Yes, please.
You know the driving test,
yes.
6 years?
Yes, you mean the age restriction.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you having any definition or difference between Hackney and private?
No.
Not at all.
No.
The reason I say that is because black taxis, the black Hackneys, they always seem really Asian, don't they?
You will find that a lot of them are now changing because it appears that some of the 6 years old have kind of got through, and now we've got different garages, and the garages have got quite an explicit description of what the children shouldn't be doing. We are getting more failures coming through for the older vehicles, and at that point we're saying, okay, you've still got a plate, but we're suspending that plate. Your vehicle's over 6 years, you need to test it as a brand new one, it needs to pass first time. And we have seen newer vehicles going on.
So the black ones will be slowly disappearing.
I've noticed as I've been driving around that we have got some newer vehicles. So I'm hoping, along with the clear air zone, which the old vehicles have a higher emissions on, we'll start to see the newer vehicles coming on.
This doesn't stop Leicester City having carriages coming into
doesn't
the
stop
borough.
Anyone coming in. No,
that's always been a problem with where we are is vehicles operating outside of their licensed areas.
The only thing I would say on that is, like I say, Leicester is one of the ones for the clear air zone. Nottingham was, I think they're within their levels at the moment, and Derby are also looking at it. So as more and more authorities get that, then, like I say, cars going into other areas stand the chance of getting charged a considerable amount. So I think we will see it affecting even, you know, everybody over a period of time.
One more question. The points, you've, according to this new policy, you're giving the right for committee members to issue points.
Yes.
Yeah.
How are you expecting that to work? Because I'm thinking that's already in place to a degree.
It is to a degree. At the moment, if a driver comes in front of the licensing subcommittee, and he's already got those 12 points. If that 12 points has been built up with a number of offences, then I do know that, you know, the members have chosen to remove some or keep some on. Mm. So that ability was there. I think because we've extended it to the 36 months, we have included that to make sure that it is in the policy and the drivers see it and it is transparent.
It's formalised, isn't it? Yes.
I think it is brought in to clarify more detail of the policy, really. So for any drivers coming to the hearing, it's a bit more clear in terms of what you can add points to their penalty points, basically.
Okay. Are there any more committee questions?
Yes.
Sorry, Ken.
Thank you.
No, you carry on.
Councillor Matthew Brooks. So, do we have a working party currently of taxi drivers and company owners that help shape our licensing and its usability and its effective working with, using their knowledge? That's my first question.
If we have an association in respect of the Hackneys, we don't have anything in respect of the private hires. We don't have a meeting as such, but they do have their newsletters every 6 months. I try and make a point of being open to any feedback from them. To a degree, there will always be an ability where we don't necessarily agree because we regulate and they've got their agenda. But I do feel that we have a very open door policy, and we can talk to the members. And as drivers, and in respect of this, there will be a consultation with them.
Okay. Yeah. So that does just follow on to a point that I've not seen within the licensing policy, but has been raised to me by a taxi driver, and it's just the use of the ranks, primarily within Loughborough, not operating use the front taxi basis.
Yeah.
Do we regulate that in any way? And is that something that we are looking at then including within the licence?
It's in the bylaws that they should go to the first car.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, over the years, and as I've explained, the bylaws are quite old, you've now got a lot of Hackneys also acting as a private hire, so they're taking personal bookings.
Yeah.
So, for example, I can say I've been out on a night out in Chesterfield many years ago, and I booked a Hackney.
Yep.
Now that Hackney, as I booked it, shouldn't have been sat on the rank because it wasn't available for hire.
Yeah.
But when I walked out, it was, and I had to walk along the rank and find it. So there is that difficulty that they're actually acting as two types of vehicles. And there is argument that they shouldn't be sat on the rank. If the booking's 15 minutes, they're going to sit there and see if they pick something up.
Can I just, sorry, Chair.
Yes, please.
Obviously, the taxi trade do inform us of any issues, like they've informed yourself. So if we do get any complaints about that happening, we would investigate that and deal with it. We don't tend to have a lot of complaints about that. I think they do self-regulate themselves, to be honest. So we don't tend to have too many problems. But where we do, they obviously can report it to us and we would take that up.
There are ways and means of running checks on it. But we would need to have the information if it was a regular party, regular time, regular venue, then it gives us somewhere to go on it. So yeah, there are ways of looking into things, but we do need the information from the driver, not necessarily anonymously or just there's this car.
No, I can appreciate that. I've got an issue that I'd like to bring up with you outside the meeting.
I think it's worth saying that the information sheets which you send out on a regular basis are extremely useful, apart from informative, because they get used at the licensing appeals as well at times. It's very useful to be able to point them back to a document and say, you know, if you didn't read this, it's your problem, but the information has been provided to you.
There's
a question at that end. Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, Chair, I'm sorry to interrupt. The licensing section have recently, for that purpose, introduced a publicity page where we have put things on for the drivers. Recently, we've had, I don't know if you've heard it on the radio, but Leicester City have stopped vehicles using the bus lane outside the railway station since there was that incident with that cyclist. And they sent through a letter, and we sent that out to all of our drivers. And that's gone onto the publicity page, and the newsletters are on there. So anything that we feel is interesting to the drivers, there's a cross county lines subject on there as well. So we have set that up to the drivers, and we are going to link that in all the renewal letters.
Okay, there was a question there.
Thank you, Chair. Councillor Poppy. First of all, thank you, Grace, for an excellent overview. There's just two things I want to raise under 14.6.5 and also 14.8.18. Regarding first of vehicles without meters, and it kind of ties onto the operating booking. If you make a verbal contract, for the sake of argument, at 2 o'clock in the morning to somebody, and then they try and con you for another £2, how can you, as a consumer, stand up to that? And moving on to bookings, if it's a booking made there and then, and it's not an advanced booking, what record system do you check up as the licensing you know, provider that these people are complying with these provisions?
If the vehicle's got a meter, then they shouldn't charge what's over that meter. If they go outside of the borough, then they can arrange a charge with that that person, but it still shouldn't be under the meter, over the meter cost. The issue you've got is private hires don't have to have a meter, so that's where a lot of the verbal arrangement comes with. You know, you ring the operator, you say how much to such and such, and they tell you what it is. Then you've got there, and they've stopped at traffic lights, or they've been somewhere else, and they charge you a bit more. That's difficult when you're in that car, because obviously you want to get home, and you want to pay them, and you don't want the argument. If the person feels they've been overcharged, then they need to contact us. If they've got details, if they've gained a receipt, we can follow that up with the vehicle, with the operator. Same goes for a Hackney. If we get a call to say somebody's been in a Hackney, it's been on a meter, they've normally paid £8, but they've been on this said same journey, and they've paid £10, we will Google map it, we will Google map the trip, we will have a look at what our meter, because we set the tariffs for the Hackney, and if we feel it's over, we'll have them in. You can have a look at the vehicle clock, So there is means of us following it up, but we do rely on the member of the public telling us.
Excellent, thank you very much.
All right.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that we've probably got one of the best regulated taxi and hire services that there is in the country now. It's it's very well looked after and it's very well regulated. So. Okay, are there any other questions? In which case, can I ask you to turn to page 6? Those are the recommendations which are on there, and I'm asking if everybody or who is happy for us to pass those and accept those regulations. Can I have a show of hands on that, please? Is there anybody against them?
So that is unanimous.
That is unanimous for the purpose of that. Yes, it is. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Members.
That's the end of the meeting. Thank you all for your participation and standing up. And to our licensing department again for the work that they do.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.